Let's turn over to Proverbs 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Everybody have a Bible? Not everything's on that scripture sheet. Everybody have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, there's one on the back table. I encourage you, you need to lay your eyes on these things. Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." Notice that verse 8, exalt her and she will promote you. We're talking about the wisdom of God. God's wisdom, God's ways, not the ways of men, not the natural wisdom, but the wisdom of God in dealing with the affairs of this life. If you'll look to wisdom, look to God's wisdom, His direction, His understanding, that will bring you honor. It will promote you. It will, if we'll embrace that and say, "God, not my understanding, not the way I see things, but the way you see it and the way you're directing it and the way you have planned out my life," if we'll promote that and exalt that, it will in turn promote us and bring us to where we need to be. Verse 9, "She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." Keep going in verse 10. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." People are looking all over trying to extend their lives now. Oh, let's, you know, what can we do? Yeah, thank God for medical science that has helped in some ways. But God tells us over and over in the Word that if we'll follow Him, we'll have long life. Children. It says, honor your father and mother. Hold your place there and go over to Ephesians. Real quick. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Notice that. Now, this is not just saying that in a vacuum, that if you honor your father and mother in a vacuum, that's going to go well with you. If you still honor your mother and father, but he's talking to people that know the Word, and he's saying, if you honor your mother and father as they're teaching you the precepts of God, it's going to go well with you. He says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Oh, he said right there is a promise of God. If you'll honor your father and mother as they're teaching you the Word of God, and then, you know, he's talking to fathers, when you have children, you train them up. But if we'll do what God has told us to do, and as the children grow up and they honor their mother and father, they're going to have long life. God tells us we'll have long life if we'll do what He's telling us to do. Thank God. Let's turn back over to Proverbs 4. Thank you, Lord. Before I go on, I feel like I need to say a little bit more there. Notice it said, honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment. In this day and age, and the first verse said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You notice that? In this day and age, it is not deemed a worthy, how should I say it? It's not thought that it's a good enough reason to obey somebody, like obey mom and dad because they said so. That's being mocked now. Well, just because I said so. That's old school. You shouldn't just do something because mom and dad said so. They should be able to reason with you and have a reason. That's not godly. How many of you know if God tells you to do something, He's right, and we need to obey Him regardless if we understand what He's talking about or not. That's a godly principle. But in this day and age, people have pushed away authority to where, and it's in employers and businesses and whatever, it's put, and I'm not saying you have to be authoritarian about everything. Yes, if you can have a good relationship with somebody, that's a good thing and a way of influence. But saying something because you're an authority over somebody and that's their job to do, or those are your children that are under you, and saying you need to do this because I said so is a good enough reason. If it's right. Did you hear me? You should see some of the looks I'm getting. No, that is godly. And people, because some people have brought it to excess in decades past where there was, parents weren't treating their children maybe the way they should and just making it very harsh and because I said so and being not, without love at all, people have rebelled. They rebelled in decades past and said, we don't want anything to do with any authority, and any authority is bad. And we just want it flat, and we don't want any structure. So that's what you have now. You have generations that have been brought up like that to where you tell somebody to do something, why should I do that? Who are you? That's not godly at all. And we need to know that because society is telling us certain things. We're talking about the wisdom of God. I don't think we've digressed too much because this is something that is the wisdom of God. This is not the wisdom of men. Wisdom of men will tell you, you need to get people on your side. Where yes, that we're not negating that, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some people need to know that this is right and you need to obey this because I said so. Because this is right. And because what are we training children for? Ultimately, to have a relationship with God. And if God tells you something and you're like, well, I don't understand that. I don't think I'm going to do that. How many of you know that doesn't fly with the Heavenly Father? He tells us to do something. Whether we understand it or not, we ought to say, yes, sir, I'll get right on that. That's what I'm doing. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God. Turn over to chapter 4, Proverbs. Back to Proverbs. We have to be careful of the things that we are hearing in the society. We talked about this last week. But the things in society that are pushed, a lot of them are men's ideas and they're not God's ideas and they're not based on God's wisdom or God's laws or God's statutes or God's way of doing things. And it's easy because many people, because there's this, we see it and we see it pushed at us in media, we see it pushed at us different way to think, oh, well, that must be right. Everybody agrees with that. It's not so. We have to know to look to Him and to do what God tells us. And we're reading His wisdom right now. Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, Proverbs, back in Proverbs. It says, hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Notice this. This is a parent instructing their child and saying, do what I tell you to do. If you'll do this, you'll be led in right paths. When you walk, your steps won't be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Even if we don't understand, do you see what he's saying? He's saying, even if you don't understand everything I'm telling you, if you'll hold fast to what I'm telling you because it's right, one day you'll begin to see the wisdom in what I'm saying, and if you'll do it this way now, it will go well with you. And that's what God has for us. He's telling us, if we'll do what the way he's telling us to do something and walk after him, this goes in general in what we see in the Word, but in our pathway, what he's telling us to do. If we'll do it the way he told us to do it and what he's telling us to do, it will go well with us, and in time, we'll see why he's telling us to do it that way. But if we're up front thinking, you show me what to do, and I'll think about doing it if I like the idea. Do you see how we'll miss it with him? Because he's telling us, it comes down to trusting him and believing in him and trusting it. His ways are higher than what we know. And if we'll look to him and say, God, I know you said that in your word. You told me to do that personally. That's what I'm going to do. In time, we'll see the fullness of what he was telling us to do, but you never see that up front in your life. When he's telling you to do certain things, we don't have to know everything out in front of us. We just have to know he's telling us to do that. And in the Word, if we see there's something that he's telling us to do, we need to say, yes, sir, I see that. I'm going to do that and walk it out, and we'll see the fruit of it as we're doing that. That's faith. And that's trust in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The path of the just is just like, or the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But verse 18, it's just what we were just saying just a little bit ago. The path of the just is like shining sun that we just keep getting higher and higher and better. And regardless if we're not going to do everything flawless, but if our heart's to serve him and we're walking on with him, we're going to see our life just keep getting ratcheted up. We're going to be walking at this level, and then we just keep following him. Yeah, we might not walk it perfectly, but we're going to learn, and our life gets ratcheted up, and it's going to keep getting ratcheted up as we go, just brighter and brighter. For the just, it just keeps getting brighter and brighter. For the way of the wicked, now that's darkness, that's stumbling, that there is no light over here. People try this and they try that and they wonder why this doesn't work and why doesn't that work, and maybe I'll read another book and maybe I'll go talk to this person. Where it's just bumping around, but the path of the just, we're just going higher and higher. Just going up with him. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn over a chapter back. We read these last week, but I thought we'd ought to start here. Just Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Let's go over there quick. And then we'll move on. Thank God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We touched on this last week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Again, it doesn't matter that we have everything figured out. If we'll just find out what the will and the wisdom of God is and follow that and hold fast to that, we'll be on the right track. And God, if we're doing that, God is going to make sure that our paths are straight. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him. You see this, in all your ways acknowledge him. This means as we're walking it out, as we're walking out what he has told us to do and endeavoring to do this, I see a heart after him here. Because in all your ways, you're saying, God, is this right? God, do you want me to do this? Am I still on the right path? Am I doing what I ought to do? Am I doing what I need to do here? And if you're like that, you can't help but go up with Him and follow Him and be lifted higher and higher because He's faithful. And He knows how to communicate with us. He knows how to lift us up. And so if we have a heart after Him and saying, God, I don't understand everything. I may not be the smartest, the best, but one thing I know is I'm following You and I'm going to do what You told me to do and I'm going to follow Your plan. And as we do that and we acknowledge Him day after day and week after week, our life is just going to keep going up like what we just read. He's going to make sure that we get the places, to the places that we need to. It's just like bumpers. You know, you ever bowled? We went bowling, you know, not too long ago together. But we have small children, so usually we have those bumpers down on each side of the lanes. Those help. I'm not a good bowler, so I don't mind having them. Because if I go over there and I'm a little bit off, it's going to bounce it back here, and then it's going to bounce it back here, and eventually it's going to hit the pins whether I threw it over there or not. It's just going to do this, but if I don't have those bumpers and I throw it, it's just going to go into the gutter, and you know I may get it down straight, I may not. But this right here, acknowledging Him in all our ways, is kind of like bumpers. Because if we'll just check up, we might start off up here, but if we're saying, if our heart is really after Him, see, where people get into trouble is they get some idea and they don't check with God and they basically say, well, that sounds good. They don't even check with Him. They run off in this direction and say it's good and they don't look back till they're in the ditch. They're over in the weeds. And they say, well, God, You let me get here. Did you go back and ask Him if that was the right way or did that just sound good? And you went away off half-cocked. It's easy to do that. It's easy to get excited or read some book and say, how about that? I remember one of my Bible teachers at Rhema, he talked about how it was a major move. I mean, he was going from one place to moving and getting out of that place and going to completely different place of ministry. And he said he had already started to make plans and talk to people and whatever. And just realized he did. This is somebody that instructed me at Rhema. I mean, this is not somebody that just hardly spent any time with God. But he realized, I really haven't asked God about this. Has anybody ever been there where you think? I mean, yeah, you're fellowshipping with Him, but you really haven't asked Him and kind of assumed this was the right direction, and you just kind of started, kind of seemed good. You know, just to your head or whatever. I'm not talking about your heart, but just like, well, that sounds like a good idea. And you started going off and didn't really ask the Lord. And he was doing this and he was like, he was already making plans to move it. And then he went and asked God and he realized he'd missed it. He was not supposed to do that. And so he had to take a step back and check out what, you know, what's he going to do now and everything. But that can happen to anybody. You can get going too quick. But if we'll, even if we started off going over here, but if we're really asking, if we had an idea and we said, yeah, that sounds really good, but Lord, what do You think about that? He can nudge us right back into where we need to be. And He can just keep correcting us and keeping us going down the way to where we had the potential to go off the rails at so many different times. But we just follow after Him. We're not trusting in our own understanding. He just keeps us like this, and we just keep going up and up and up. But that comes from trusting in His wisdom and trusting in what He would tell us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to our own understanding. Because there's so many times when you could feel like God is leading you this way. And it seems good, and it is right. You've checked with Him. But as you go, not everything looks like you thought it would look. Not everything feels like you thought it should feel. And if you're trusting in your head instead of your heart, you can start wondering if you're on the right path. And that's a time when you can start get drifting. Because if you start now putting aside trusting in the Lord with all your heart, start trusting in your own understanding, now even though you felt this was right, even though you believed it was God, now you're looking in your own understanding. Now you're only going by what you see in your field. Now you've put yourself back into the realm of where The enemy can influence this. He can make it look a certain way and say, oh yeah, you must be in the right way, and you've put aside what God told you. And if you go start looking at this, what we see and feel can deceive us and can be wrong and can all of a sudden, you know, anybody ever seen a mirage? Of course we have. If you've driven on a long trip and it's a hot day, you see what looks like water up there and it looks like it's water. And from your visual and your head, I mean, if you've seen it before, you know that's not water. But if you were going by your sight, you would say, it's right there. I'm going towards that. And as you get closer and closer, eventually you get there and there's nothing there. And this happens. People will go off and start looking at something they see and see, ooh, there's something. This is going to happen. This business deal is going to happen. I can see it. Oh, it looks like it. And they get there and it just falls apart right when they're getting there. But how many of you know if we're following Him and looking to Him, God will tell you way before, this is not it. No, don't look at that. Brother Hagin tells about an account in the earlier days of his ministry. He was beginning to be better known, but this man approached him about his tapes and taking care of all his tapes and recording all of them and distributing them, and it looked really good on the outside. It looked like a good deal. It looked like, yeah, why wouldn't you want to do this? You start getting exposure, you start getting things out and whatever, but inside, he said God was telling him no. It was just he did not have a good feeling about it at all. But on the outside, you think, oh, see, and this is where people miss it. They think, they look on the outside and it looks good. And if you're not careful, you can say, oh, glory to God. Look at what the Lord has set up for me. Because if you're going by this, what you see, it may look really good. And if you're going by that, somebody says, oh, see what God did? And I've seen people go zigzag, go to everything because they're going by this and they see something that looks good and they say, oh, see, God is blessing us. And we've all been tempted to do this. I'm going to go buy this. I see it. God has really given me a good deal on this. And really, it's just their flesh that wants to buy something and they want to get it now. But it's so easy to put God's name on and see what God did. See what God opened this up for me to get this good deal. Now, if we'll take a step back, so many times when we look, if we check inside, we'll say, is this really God? Because I'm not going by what I just see. And so Brother Hagin, he said, no, it looked really good on the outside, but on the inside, I just knew it wasn't right. And over time, he realized this man did not have his best intentions, what he really wanted to do. He didn't have Brother Hagin's best at heart. He really wanted to be recording his stuff, get control of it, and then use it for his own purposes. Well, God knew that. God knew that. You didn't have to, but in the natural, you wouldn't see that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 4. It says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency is from Him. Not to think of something, it is so tempting in this world to think it's coming from me. Well, I have this ability. I have this way of doing this thing. And it's so tempting, even if you've walked with the Lord for some period of time, to start thinking that it was your ability somehow that got you to where you are and not His help. It's a constant thing that we need to be watching out for, that as we go, God has blessed you and God has prospered you and God has brought you along, and it's because you're following Him and endeavoring on His path. But the enemy can whisper in your ear, yeah, you were following God, but really it was you that got this. And then your ability can get you over here because you're such a good X. You have this ability here, and it will work over here. And you can do it over here. And just subtle, but push you just a little bit over to where you're really not saying, God, is this you? And acknowledging Him, you just get subtly over here to where I've been following Him all this time, I know, and I can just go do this over here. Just as easy. And that's where it's easy to get off and to start moving in a direction that God didn't tell you to do. It's easy for it to sneak in there because you're not checking with Him. And you think, I've gotten to this place and I know how to do this, I know how. And that's easy then to go off without checking and assume the Lord's with you here. And not to keep to where you feel that your sufficiency is in Him. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I read it. Brother Hagin gives the account that, you know, back in 40s, 50s, everybody was getting a tent. There was a massive revival, and so people would get tents and hold tent revivals. And there was this one man that Brother Hagin heard say. He said, well, if Brother so-and-so can do it, I can do it, and I'm going to get a tent. I'll do it just like he did it, because if he can do it, I can do it, and I'll get a crowd. He went out, and at first he had a 6,000-person tent, filled that, went up to a 10,000-person tent, filled that, and after that, just dived, and everything went haywire, and that guy ended up ruined. What is that? I can preach. I can draw a crowd. If he can do it, I can do it. Is that God that's telling you to do it? Well, I can run a business. I can run a business anywhere. I can start this business. We go into any place and do it because I know my stuff. Well, I can, you know, you can put it on anything. I'm the best engineer around, or what? I'm so smart in this, so I can go in and do it. It's so subtle, but you could even paint it like, well, God's helping me. But if God isn't telling us, we've taken our sufficiency off Him and put it onto something else, and then we're not checking with Him, and we're not looking to His wisdom and His guidance. And if He tells us to do something, we don't know it because we've already moved on, because we're kind of looking at ourselves at that point. Amen? No, we don't want to get there. We want to believe that it is Him, His way, that we in the end are servants and children of Almighty God, and our lives are just a representation of what He wants us to do. So as we walk, we're constantly, there's just a feedback loop. We're just looking to Him, saying, God, is this where you want us? God, is this where you want us? Am I doing what you want me to do? And we see something, and we feel like God is telling us to do that. And we say, but it doesn't look good in the natural. Well, God, is that you? Maybe we slow down at that point. If we're listening to Him, we start going slow, because what I'm seeing is not agreeing with what I'm hearing on the inside. And if you ever run into that position at that point, it's just time to tighten that feedback loop to make sure, God, I believe I'm hearing you, but I'm not seeing. So God, is that right? Because I want your plan. I know if it's not me, I mean, if it's just me out here, I'm going to fall, because I know you're my sufficiency. So, Lord, your wisdom. I want your wisdom. Lord, is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Until where you know that's him. Now it's time to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because I believe I'm following him. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I, God, this is you. I don't care what I see. I believe it's you, so I'm going forward. That's so much different than getting to the place where we are looking at what we can see, feel, taste, touch. We're looking at what our abilities or our past or whatever to determine where we're going. That's not looking at his wisdom anymore. That's not looking at his strength anymore. That's looking to the arm of the flesh. And we don't want to get there. We want to trust in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 3. We read this before. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. What did I tell you? 1 Corinthians 3. Go, before we read that part, go down to verse 9, and then we'll go back up. Verse 9 says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So in our lives as Christians and as followers of him, Jesus is supposed to be the foundation of every part. I know this sounds like, well, duh. But it's not so much like that. There are so many people in the Christian, quote-unquote, world that are, they're legitimate Christians, but they are not basing their foundation on him and on his wisdom and on his plan for their life. It is based on another foundation. It might be churchianity. It's based on a church and what we believe as a church. It's or you know, my, like we were saying, my ability, or are they based on education, or they're based it on connections, or they're basing it on technology, or they're basing on what they like to do. But they're not basing it on what Jesus, who he is, and what he has for them, and on his way of doing things, and making him completely the center. And we're not supposed to build on any foundation but that. God was there at the beginning. The wisdom of God was there at the beginning, laying down the foundation for this world. He called it into existence. And these worlds, and the universe. He knows what needs to happen in our life, but if we're basing it and building and trying to mold it on anything but him and what he has for us, it's not going to be all that he would have for us to be in our life. We're going to, if we add, we're building on him, but then like we said, we get off and we start building it on some other thing, like charisma or like natural ability. God will use those things, but they're not the foundation. Business skill is not the foundation. Just keep having these examples pop up. There was another example Brother Hagin gave of a multi-millionaire that he knew of, and this is how he made all his money. He would go. He just said, and he was a businessman. He was called to be a businessman. Now, you can't just go and do certain things when you're not called to do it. But this guy was called to be a businessman. And so for every transaction that came across that he had an opportunity, regardless if it looked good on the outside or if it looked bad, he would just put himself in his prayer closet for 2 or 3 days until he knew what he was supposed to do. That was his mode of operation. Did you hear me? If you're a businessman or you've had any experience with that, in other words, He did not go and analyze all the numbers to where it looked like this is a good return on investment or whatever. This guy shut himself in the closet and prayed and spoke in tongues and got it on the inside until he knew on the inside if this was a good business deal because God was telling him or it wasn't. And regardless of what it looked like on the outside, if it looked bad, like there's no way these people are going to make any money. But on the inside, the Holy Spirit was saying, you go, you jump on that. He did. He invested. It could look great on the outside. All the numbers, all the business sheets, all the performance, everything looked great. But in the inside, God said, don't invest on that. Then he didn't. And this guy made millions of dollars. And back when millions of dollars was millions of dollars, it wasn't like today, when a millionaire was more like a billionaire today. Amen. I mean, this is not, I'm not saying you shut your brain off. But the point is, if we're looking to him, if we're looking to him and saying, God, everything I have, I feel like I'm, you know, this feels like it's so elementary, but we're trying to get somewhere. I know God is trying to do something and get something over to us. Because don't let your mind say, well, yeah, I know that. That's the problem. Is that we think, I know that, and I'm just going to go on with my plans anyway. No, what we need to know is God. Jesus is our foundation. We are here to do what he would have us to do, and all our resources are his. And so for what he wants us to do, we're supposed to go, God, is that the right thing for me, regardless of what I think or feel? Is this the place and the plan of God? Because that's what it all comes down to. Our part for us and our family, is this what I'm supposed to hook into for your plan and your glory and what you would want me? Not going from the other angle and like, well, can I make a lot of money on this? Because if you're called to be a businessman, you're supposed to make a lot of money, but the money is so that you can help God's plan. And your needs will be met just like all of our needs will be met. But it's not so many people in the world are going and they're trying to do, they have a different goal and they try to use God to get that done. Well, I want to be, you could go somewhere, I want to be a great Christian singer. You hear that so many times. What they really mean is I want to be in front of people and people to know my name, not necessarily for to get the gospel out. I want to make lots of money for the glory of God. What they really mean is I want to have a huge house and just do all this stuff. Nothing wrong with any of that as far as having things. But it's, God, what do you want me to do? I want to do it to the best of my ability and do it for your glory. And then all these things follow us as we do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. I think that's about where we're going to stop. Today, we're just almost just getting to where we need to be. But I think we can unhook here, and then we can hook up next week, if that's the way the Lord says to go. Thank you, Lord.